Right now, I've got a very special guest on the phone with me right now, and I'd like to welcome to Feedback here on WEEU, Senator Bob Casey Jr. Senator, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us this morning. And I want to start off first and foremost with something that just took place in Congress. Congress passed and the president signed a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and our allies in the Indo-Pacific region. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Bill, I'm grateful to be on your show, and I'm especially grateful this week to have had the opportunity to vote on that legislation. It's critical legislation. And I'll just frame it this way. When that bill passed the United States Senate and was sent to the president, now the president has signed it, it was a bad day for Vladimir Putin and despots around the world, authoritarians around the world. It was a bad day for Hamas, the terrorist organization, and it was a bad day for enemies of freedom around the world. And it was a bad day for fentanyl traffickers because we passed, as part of the security bill, the Fend Off Fentanyl legislation that I've been pushing now for months to get passed into law to crack down on China and the Mexican drug cartels and to use sanctions and anti-money laundering provisions in the law to go after the bad guys and slow down the flow of fentanyl. So it was a good day for freedom and for America, for Ukraine, and freedom-loving people around the world.
It seems like every time we send aid to Ukraine, President Zelensky comes right back asking for more. As a member of the Select Committee on Intelligence, do you think our continuing aid to Ukraine has committed us to a prolonged conflict there?
I don't think so, Bill. I'd certainly be willing to consider additional support, but the scale of this investment in Ukraine, first of all, is really good for our defense industrial base, and Russia is an enemy of the United States, and we're not committing any of our fighting men and women. But the scale of this, more than $60 billion, means that we're making a one-time investment that we haven't made in one piece before. And so I think it was meant to be an investment that will last not just for a few months, but for a year or two. But if we reach a point where Ukraine needs additional support, I'm certainly willing to consider it, because the imperative here is to defeat Vladimir Putin at all costs. No matter what it takes, we have to be, I believe, committed to that. Because if we don't, I think we're going to be in a world war in Europe, because he'll just go into NATO countries, and then we're committed to defending NATO countries because of Article 5 of the agreement we signed, the treaty agreement with NATO countries. So we don't want to do that. We want to help Ukraine defeat Russia and be able to stop a murderous dictator from taking over the country.
And again, part of that aid package earmarked money for Israel. What are your thoughts on the anti-Israel and Death to America protests that are underway on our nation's college campuses today?
Well, I think, look, we're a country that supports and defends the right to free speech. But I'll tell you, when you have some people that are saying when they're protesting, and this isn't all of them, but certainly you have protesters that are often taking the side, or at least excusing the actions of Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. That you can't have much of a conversation with someone who won't be forthright about what Hamas is. It's a terrorist organization that murdered 1,200 innocent Israelis and is committed to the destruction of Jewish people all over the Middle East, and especially in Israel. They want to destroy not just a state. Hamas is committed to murdering Jews. That's what they're in existence for. So I think we have to be very clear-eyed about that. But when someone comes up to me, a constituent who doesn't agree with my support for Israel, and says America is not doing enough to push Israel to get more aid into Gaza, they're making a strong point. We have to continue to push our own government, and that's why this humanitarian aid and this security bill is really important. Gaza will get, the people of Gaza will get about $1.5 billion of support, humanitarian support, and that's why one of the many reasons I voted for the bill. But in addition to that, we have to push Israel, the Arab states, and the Gulf states and the Arab countries to provide a lot more food aid and a lot more medical supplies and medicine to the people of Gaza. It's a terrible humanitarian disaster on the ground there, and it's not good enough for us to just say, well, this is war and there's nothing we can do about it. We have to help those people, and we have to prevent at all costs famine from reaching Gaza, and unfortunately we may be at that point already. So we have to continue to support. So Israel should be sending a lot more food trucks in every day than they are now.
My guest this morning is U.S. Senator Bob Casey Jr. The economy and inflation are among the top issues on voters' minds this year. Your campaign focus is on shrinkflation or greedflation. Can you explain what that is, and does that fully address the high inflation rate that we've been experiencing for the last couple of years?
Yeah, Bill, I think a lot of people who go to the grocery store, most people go to the grocery store, have noticed this over the last couple of years where, and the Federal Reserve told us this, that between July of 20 and July of 22, corporate profits in America went up 75%, five times the rate of inflation. And so what a lot of big companies were doing was using the pandemic as cover and using the concern generally about inflation as cover to jack up their prices. Even as their profits were sky high, they just got a huge tax break in 2017, these big corporations that I voted against, and I'll vote against again if they propose it. But they got a big tax break. Their profits are going through the roof, and they're jacking up prices and contributing a lot to inflation. I think that's just a fact. And people are seeing that in the grocery store. And the question is, what do I, as a United States senator, what does Congress do about it? First of all, I'm going to continue to point it out and continue to call it out. And I'll continue to prosecute the case against these big companies and urge the passage of my legislation to give the Federal Trade Commission the power to use corporate price gouging, the power to investigate, I should say, corporate price gouging, and hold these companies accountable. And while we're at it, we should roll back their big tax breaks, because obviously they got big tax breaks that jacked up our debt by $2 trillion, and we didn't get much for that, and all we got were higher prices.
Nursing homes across the country are experiencing a severe staffing shortage. As chair of the Senate Aging Committee, what's being done to alleviate that problem?
Yeah, Bill, it's a great question, because I think it's on the minds of so many Americans. So many of us, when we reach a certain age, or someone in our family does, whether it's your mom or your dad or someone you love, the question is, what will happen to them in the so-called twilight of their lives? Will they stay in your home? But if they stay at home to get care, they need to make all kinds of adjustments. We don't really have the kind of home care system that we need. That's a whole other conversation. But the option for most people, and most people means even middle class families who have to rely upon Medicaid to get their mother or father in a nursing home, most of those families are making that choice, and they have an expectation and a legitimate, justifiable expectation that the care in that nursing home, that skilled care, will be quality care, number one, and that their loved one will be cared for as they would care for them, and will be accorded the dignity and respect that a nursing home resident should be provided. The only way we can accomplish those goals for that family is to make sure that we have staffing or minimum staffing levels, so that at a minimum, and this is what the administration proposed, which is largely what my legislation would do that I introduced a while ago, but the administration now has a proposal to, in a sense, put into effect what I proposed in legislation, which is basically just a little shy of 3.5 hours of direct care per person per day. So that means a registered nurse has to be on duty 24 hours a day in the nursing home, and that RN has to spend time with each nursing home resident. And that also the certified nurses' aides, those heroic caregivers, are spending about 2.5 hours a day in direct care to that one person, that one resident, someone's mom or someone's dad.
Another issue that's of importance to seniors is the future of Medicare and Social Security. The Medicare Trust Fund's expected to run out of funds by 2031, and the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to run out of money by 2037. Is there anything Congress is doing to prevent those two trust funds from going broke, and if so, what?
Well, I'd say, number one, the Congress isn't doing enough, and we've got bipartisan work that's ahead of us to address both of those issues. The problem we've had, Bill, for too many years is you've had proposals by congressional Republicans, both in the House and the Senate, year after year, that would have the effect of privatizing Social Security and voucherizing Medicare. So in Medicare, you'd get a voucher, and once you spend down that voucher, you're kind of on your own for the rest of your care. So the first thing we have to do is to defeat any extreme proposal like that that's been proposed over, really, not just over the last couple of years, really over the last 15 years or maybe even 20. So that's number one. Number two is we've got to make sure that we're providing the resources necessary to protect both Social Security and Medicare. And that means you have to look to what some Republicans don't want to look to, which is the tax code. You can't be given, you know, permanent corporate tax breaks and having all that revenue fly out the window like Republicans did in the 2017 bill, or give very wealthy Americans tax breaks and expect you to have enough revenue to shore up Medicare down the road, or Social Security, or even Medicaid itself, which is so important to older Americans and low-income families. So I think that's where the rubber hits the road. We've got to get a consensus that tax code has to be used to protect families and protect earned benefits, and not for these gross, obscene tax breaks for the most powerful and the most wealthy.
Now, I know we're running out of time here, so I'll leave the last words up to you. Is there anything that you want to share with us today?
Well, Bill, thanks. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate the opportunity, and just a quick message on my campaign. I'm running for re-election to the United States Senate to continue to deliver for the people of our state, and I can demonstrate very clearly how I delivered for the state. And for even by county, Berks County, for example, making it possible for K-12 schools to have the help they needed in the pandemic, for every school district in Berks County, getting investments for freight rail improvements between Boyertown and Pottstown, Reading Area Community College delivering $14 million for the community college, more than $10 million in bridge repairs and changes, whether it's the Tollgate Road Bridge or the East Chestnut Street Bridge or the Weavertown Road Bridge or Peach Street Bridge or Forgedale Bridge, all these investments that I've delivered for the people of Berks County, and I want to continue to fight those battles, whether it's lowering the cost of insulin for seniors, capping it at $35 a month, or delivering on investments in communities and families. So that's just a brief... brief summation, but I want to continue to deliver for the people of our state, and I'm going to work every day to earn the vote of the people of Berks County and people throughout the Commonwealth.
U.S. Senator Bob Casey Jr. is my guest this morning. Senator, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Bill, thank you.
Have a good day now.
Same to you.
All right, bye-bye now.